All right, well, we're here in Mark chapter 5, and the name of the sermon is How to Get Demon Possessed. How to Get Demon Possessed. Now, here in the Philippines, you know, All Saints Day is kind of the big holiday for this time of year, but obviously, you know, you got Halloween and All Souls Day, so this is kind of like the triple header, you know, back to back to back. So I think in the U.S., they probably would have preached a sermon several days ago before Halloween. For us, it seems appropriate to preach it on today, which is kind of in between these kind of three holidays. So how to get demon possessed. Now, hopefully, your goal is not to get demon possessed, okay? Hopefully you're not here saying, man, I've always wanted to be demon possessed. How do I do it, okay? But I do want to talk to you about this subject because I think every year it's appropriate to preach a sermon on this kind of topic this time of year. And there's a lot of questions about this, okay? Now, number one, in the Bible, when instead of saying demon possessed, you would say possessed by devils, okay? In the Bible, there is the ultimate devil, Satan, Lucifer, but the other fallen angels are referred to as devils. So there's the ultimate devil, and then all the other fallen angels are also devils, but it's essentially the same thing. Another thing to realize is this, that as a saved person, praise God that we cannot get possessed by devils. Okay, that would be a pretty scary thing if you could get possessed by devils. But when you are saved, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you are indwelled with a spirit forever, and you will never be indwelled with unclean spirits because you have the clean spirit inside of you permanently, okay? So you could never get possessed. But some people have the wrong idea that in the New Testament, people are getting possessed by devils, and then magically when the Bible was done being written, it just stopped. And nobody ever gets possessed in the 20th century or in the 21st century. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't remember the verse in the Bible that says all these fallen angels were thrown in hell when the Bible was done being written. Have you seen that? People still get possessed by devils today, just like they did during the New Testament times. And so a lot of churches, they never really talk about this, or maybe they don't believe that, and a lot of people maybe aren't aware of this. But look, a lot of people out there are actually possessed by devils, okay? But it is not random who gets possessed. Because some people might have this question, is it just random who gets possessed by devils? And I would say no, it is not random. There are certain things that you can do that are basically like a medium to communicate with devils, and you're basically inviting unclean spirits inside of you as an unsaved person, okay? Now, Mark chapter 5, let me read you this passage, and then we'll get into the specifics here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, when it says he has an unclean spirit, that's referring to him being possessed by devils, okay? He has an unclean spirit. Now, notice he's hanging out in the tombs. He's hanging out around a bunch of dead bodies. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't exactly like to hang out at graveyards for fun. Right? I don't generally take now. I mean, maybe some of you growing up Catholic on All Saints Day or on this weekend, you're like, yeah, we hang out at graves and everything. It's weird, though. Hanging around a bunch of dead bodies. I mean, the Bible says all that hate me love death. Right? It's weird to have this fascination with dying. It's strange. And this man, though, is hanging out around the tombs, around dead bodies. So one thing you will see is that people that are possessed by devils, and this is not even one of the points, is they have a fascination with death, with the dark side, with these demonic things. Now, around this time of year, people just kind of go crazy and they kind of just put away all logic and start doing things they would never do. But I mean, this is not normal. It's weird. Now in the US, you will see far more of this celebration than here. Everywhere you go, you're gonna see ghosts and spider webs and people dressed like wizards all over the walls, all over the buildings. You go soul winning and every other door has something weird out there, a mummy, or you press the doorknob and then all of a sudden they've rigged it so something comes down from above and everything. It's like literally the month of October before Halloween, it's weird, right? You see all of this dark stuff. I know someone who goes to Verity Baptist Church and he was from Europe. And in Europe, they don't really celebrate it like this. So he came here and it's like around Halloween time and he sees all of these like dead bodies and tombs like lying everywhere in people's backyards for decoration. He's like, what in the world is wrong with the US, right? Because it was weird to him. And look, if you don't grow up around this, it's weird. Now, Halloween felt normal to me growing up because every year you just dress up like something. It feels normal. It's not normal. And look, it might have felt normal to you as a kid going to the graves and feeding your dead relatives. That's not normal. It's weird. And look, people get desensitized based on the culture they grow up with. Look, it's weird. It's bizarre. And look, that food is going to be eaten by rats. It's not going to be eaten by your dead relatives. Okay? It's strange. And this man is hanging out around tombs. That sounds kind of like All Saints Day, just hanging around a bunch of dead bodies. Okay? Look, I have a million places I'd rather hang out than around dead bodies. Even Jollibee, I would rather be hanging out around. Okay? Verse 3. Who had this dwelling among the tombs. So this is where he lives. He's a homeless guy who hangs out in graves. Okay? And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. No man is able to bind him with chains, meaning they put chains around him and he just breaks free of them. You say, what in the world? Look at verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Can you imagine wrapping somebody up with chains and then they just break them in half? It's like, good night, the strongest people in the world can't do that. But this man is able to do this. I mean, is that because this guy's lifting all the time at the tombs? No. It's because when you are possessed by devils, you actually can have supernatural strength. That's what you're seeing. And look, sometimes you read in newspapers these stories about these crazy things. Or you'll see just in the past where people would be locked in insane asylums and they had to have like 8 guys holding on to someone and they would just burst out of them. Why? Because they have supernatural strength when they're possessed. I remember reading a story, there was this professional UFC fighter who was like one of the top ranked fighters in the world, you know, one of the top in his weight class. I don't remember if it was middleweight or lightweight. And, you know, the guy weighs about 200 pounds when he's not cutting weight. So he's not a small guy. 200 pounds, he's a pro fighter, one of the top 10 in the world and everything. And there's a guy who weighed about 130 pounds, which is like 60 kilograms, broke into his house in the middle of the night. He's like, it's the strongest guy I've ever fought in my life. And this was a pro fighter. He said he thought he was going to die, and this guy didn't have any weapons. He's like, he's trying to fight this guy and punching him. The guy's just coming back like, you know, just super strong. Look, this stuff didn't go away 2,000 years ago. This stuff still exists where people get possessed today. It's reality. Okay? The devils didn't just magically disappear 2,000 years ago. People still have the ability to get possessed by today. What you see is they hang around dead bodies. They have supernatural strength, you see. Verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Here's a man just crying out and he's cutting himself. I mean, have you ever seen people that will cut their wrists? Right? Because that's a way some people will try to commit suicide and stuff like that. Sometimes that could be a sign that a person could be possessed by devils. That's weird. Right? And a lot of people that are into like this goth sort of music and stuff like that, they do a lot of these weird things. Look, it's weird to cut yourself with knives. And you have to understand something else. Just thinking logically, you know, when you think about if somebody gets shot with a gun, obviously it's a brutal way to die and everything, but it's not like, you know, sick to think about, but like knives, you know, like that's why all the movies are these slasher movies. It's weird, right? I mean, if somebody were to kill me, I would much rather just be shot than to be like stabbed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And cutting yourself is just really morbid and weird. It's something that's painful to even think about, right? It's weird. It's strange. And yet that is what this man is doing. Now, this man is doing it because he's being influenced by these devils that he's possessed by, that are causing him to do things that he would not normally do, because no person would normally do that. It's weird. It's strange. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, I want you to realize that in the Bible, you will notice that devils have an understanding about who God is and about who Jesus Christ is. I would even say they believe and understand who the true God is. But angels and fallen angels, they're not humans, okay? Humans are not judged like fallen angels. Why is it that the fallen angels go to hell? Because they rebelled against God. That's not why humans go to hell. Humans go to hell because they did not believe on Jesus Christ, okay? With the devils, it doesn't matter what they believe. They're going to go to hell because they rebelled. But they have an understanding of spiritual things to some degree, Okay, now we understand the Bible says about the angels that, you know, they desire to look into these things. They don't fully comprehend things the same way as humans. Just realize if someone tries to pull out verses of an angel and say, well, see, you got to repent of your sins. Look, angels are not humans. Okay, they're not judged like humans. It's a mute point. It has nothing to do with us as humans, what we have to do. Okay, the devil's not judged like a human being. A human being goes to heaven or hell based on whether or not they believe. Whereas the one third of the angels that go to hell, they go because they chose to rebel against God. Okay? But they have an understanding of who God is. You see that here. Verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So this man was possessed by a lot of devils. Okay? But I want you to notice here in these verses, you can see that an animal is actually able to get possessed. Isn't that what you see? You see that these pigs are actually capable of getting possessed. Sometimes when it comes to animals, they will out of nowhere go from being a really nice animal and they'll get some sort of disease, and then they become like a killer animal trying to kill the family. Now, look, I'm not an expert at this, so I'm not saying every single time this is true, but you say, well, you know what happens? Dogs are just so nice, and then they get rabies and try to kill the owners. Maybe they got possessed. That is a possibility, because animals are capable of getting possessed. You always read about dogs are the nicest dogs, and then they try to kill the children or something like that. That is a possibility, okay? Now look, growing up, and look, I'm not against you if you like pets or whatever. Growing up, I love pets. I'm not really a pet person now. And part of it is because of the fact I have kids, and honestly, I don't feel safe with animals that could harm my children if they just changed. There's a big difference between a human being and an animal. Amen. I have no love for an animal compared to a human being. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have an animal, but you got to be safe about them, especially if it's a big animal. I mean, if you got a big dog that's bigger than the humans, you know, make sure that you chain it up in a good place so it can't just, you know, attack, you know, if it just kind of goes crazy, because the Bible's indicating that even animals could get possessed. But what I want you to notice is this. It keeps saying unclean spirits, unclean spirits. Now, in general, unclean spirits are going to feel more comfortable in unclean places. People that are living more unclean lives, more sinful lives. So in general, somebody that lives a worse life is more likely to get possessed as an unsaved person. Someone who is living a life where they're committing a lot of sins is more likely to. Why? Because the unclean spirits feel at home in an unclean place. It's just logical, okay? But there are certain sins and certain things that you can do that could actually increase your likelihood even more than just a normal sin. Now go to Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Because I want us to understand as saved people, when it comes to people that are possessed in this world, it's not random. It's not just like that there's these devils roaming around and saying, what little boy am I going to possess, right? It's not completely random, okay? There are certain things that you could do that could increase your likelihood of getting possessed, okay? Leviticus 10 verse 9. Leviticus 10 verse 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. One unclean thing that you can do, one sin you could commit that could increase your likelihood of being possessed, are alcohol and drugs. Especially specific types of drugs. And I will show you the link here in the Bible. But that is one specific sin that could increase your likelihood. Now go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. See, we know the Bible says that all men are liars. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Okay? But I want you to realize that I don't really believe that lying is a sin where basically it's a medium to communicate with devils. But there are certain things and certain sins where it basically acts as a medium where you're communicating with devils. And this is not hard to see with alcohol and drugs because many false religions incorporate these things into their spiritual services. And they will say it helps us communicate to our God better. I agree. I think you're right about that. The problem is you got the wrong God. Okay? Notice what it says about alcohol. And look, our stance on alcohol here at Verity Baptist Church is alcohol is always a sin.
Amen.
There's no exception to that. You say, well, I just had a small glass of alcohol. It's a sin. It's wrong. Okay? Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now, does verse 29, does that really make you say, man, I'm missing something with this alcohol? Those commercials where people are drinking, they seem so happy. Who hath sorrow is what the Bible says. Yeah, they put on a smile in those commercials.
Nice.
Yeah, that billboard, they look really nice and everything. But according to the Bible, it says who hath sorrow, meaning depression. People that drink alcohol, they're not happy. They're depressed. They're miserable. And it says who hath contentions. That's fightings. Isn't it true that people that get drunk get into a lot of fights? I mean, a lot of the fights where people die, you know, they get killed and everything like that, it happens at a bar. We got a bunch of drunk people doing stupid things, and a person gets in a fight on the street, guy gets punched, he lands on the back of his head, which is the weakest part of your body, and they land on the back of the head, they get a major concussion and they die. That happens at bars all the time. That happens with pro athletes you see that are out, and then it's like all of a sudden a gun gets pulled out, a knife gets pulled out. Yeah, well, when you're surrounding yourself around alcohol, guess what? Contentions come. That is how people die. Look, I remember before I moved to the Philippines, a lot of people tried to persuade me not to move here. And one of the big reasons everyone said is it's so dangerous in the Philippines. Everybody's getting killed. It's so dangerous. I mean, literally everybody said it's just really dangerous in the Philippines. Yeah, you know what? It's dangerous anywhere if you're out at midnight drinking alcohol or you're dealing drugs. But did you know that if you just are out during a normal time of the day when the sun's up, that guess what? Sin doesn't happen so much underneath the sun. It happens in the darkness of night. Now, I understand that there are places that are more dangerous than others, but I wasn't worried in the slightest bit because I'm not a drug dealer. It's like, oh man, the president's killing drug dealers. Well, I'm not a drug dealer. Why does that affect me? I'm not a drug dealer or a drug buyer, so why would that affect me? Okay, it doesn't affect me. So it's like, why would I have a reason to be concerned? People die usually based on their own choices. Now, are there exceptions to that? Of course. But in general, people die based on bad choices they make. And look, if you're out at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're drinking alcohol and you're driving and you crash and die, well, you know what? There was influences that caused that. It wasn't just random. I know many people that I went to high school with and people from college that are long gone. They already died. You know, even 10 years ago, they had passed on. And many times, and usually the reason why was drunken driving. They were drinking alcohol and then they drove and then they crashed and died. Or they got killed by a drunk driver. Or, you know, they overdosed or they drank themselves to death. It was usually their own stupidity. It was their own choices, okay? Now, it says, who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Isn't it true that people that are drunk just babble with nonsense? They don't make any sense. They just talk foolishly. Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? That goes back to contentions. They get into fights. They get punched in the face. They get hurt, okay? In general, when you're going about your day, you don't get into fights and get punched in the face unless you mix in alcohol and you're out at midnight, right? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You wake up exhausted. You wake up tired. You can often see people, you look at their face. I mean, you go soul winning sometimes and you walk away and you're like, that person's either doing drugs or drinking alcohol. How do you know? Their eyes. Isn't that true? You can often see it in their eyes, okay? Now, who is this? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. You say, Brother Stuckey, I don't think it's wrong to drink alcohol as long as you don't get drunk. The Bible says don't even look at it. I mean, what's the argument here? Don't even look at it. Much less actually drink it. Don't even look at the alcohol. Now, this is not a whole sermon on alcohol. I'm sure I'll preach a whole sermon on it. I know they'll pull out the verse in Deuteronomy about you're able to buy strong drink, etc., etc., taking it out of context. But look, throughout the Bible, it condemns drinking alcohol. And any amount of alcohol is wrong. It's a sin. It says, don't even look upon it. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Okay? Verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. The Bible's saying in verse 33 that you, as a person, if you're drinking alcohol, you'll start looking upon women that you're not married to. That's what it means by strange women. I mean, you want to fast track to adultery? Start drinking. That's what the Bible's saying. Drinking alcohol will increase your likelihood of committing adultery. That's what the Bible's saying in verse 33. Your eyes are going to behold strange women and you're going to utter perverse things. And isn't it true that people that get drunk say really stupid things? And they say offensive things and they don't even remember it. They wake up and they've said some really bastos, rude things, and they're not even aware of it. They utter perverse things. They say things that are filthy. They say things that are sinful that they would not normally do. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. That's scary. It says you can get beaten and not feel it. You can get beaten and not feel it. You say, why is that scary? Because when you're getting hit, it should hurt, because your body's warning you. Right, like the other day, I mentioned yesterday in Pampanga, I slightly burned my finger when I was getting vegetables out of the toaster oven. And I didn't mean to touch the side, I was trying to get out the vegetables. And what was my immediate reaction? I pulled away because I felt the pain. But imagine if I didn't feel any pain. I'd just be getting the vegetables out and I'm just causing major damage to my body, right? Pain is actually not a bad thing. It's actually meant to be there for a reason. And when you're feeling pain, it's signaling something's wrong, or it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to teach you something. And it's saying here, they have beaten me and I felt it not. That's scary that you can be getting beat up and hurt and you don't even feel it. But people that drink alcohol, they wake up and they're like, oh man, how did I get this black eye? They don't even know it. They forget, right? Look, I went to college at West Virginia University. West Virginia University always is voted the number one drinking school in the United States every single year. Every single year, bar none, it's voted. At least when I, for over the course of 10 years, it was always voted number. That's where I got saved and became a soul winner, in the biggest drinking school in the entire United States. But look, you know, regularly you would see people, and I didn't really do this after my freshman year because I just didn't like the atmosphere. But you go to a restaurant at like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., it's kind of dark, and then all of a sudden you get out and these guys are like beating each other up on the streets. And it's like, why would they do that? Because they're drinking alcohol on Friday nights. They're just doing foolish things because they are affected and influenced by alcohol. And you know what? They're going to wake up and say, man, I didn't even know I got in a fight last night. Yeah, how did that happen? When shall I awake? Notice what he says. When shall I awake? It does not say when I shall awake. It's a question. When shall I awake? What it's saying is this, that when you're drinking alcohol, you have no idea when you're going to wake up. When shall I awake? Right? I've often misquoted that verse because I've often heard it preached, when I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. It's actually a question, though, that's being said, that when you're drinking alcohol, you have no idea what time you're going to wake up. And isn't that true? People that drink alcohol, you never know when they're going to wake up. Could be 10 a.m., could be 11 a.m., could be noon. When shall I awake? Well, you have no idea if you're drinking alcohol. But when you do awake, I will seek it yet again. What in the world? I mean, has there been anything in the last 10 minutes where you're like, man, I'm missing something by going to Verity Baptist Church Manila. I'm missing this lifestyle of drinking alcohol. Look, alcohol will destroy your life. Now turn to Ephesians 5. But you say, Brother Stuckey, why are you saying alcohol is a medium to communicate with devils? Turn to Ephesians 5. I'll show you. First off, all you have to do is type in spirits on Google. See, another name for alcohol is spirits. That's the world's definition. That's what the world will say. They'll say spirits. In fact, there's the seven spirits of alcohol, okay? Now, I knew six of these. One of them I had not heard of before, but there's Vodka is one of the seven spirits of alcohol, according to, I don't know who determines what are the seven spirits. I don't know. It's like the opposite of God. The seven spirits of God versus the seven spirits of alcohol, okay? Vodka, gin, tequila, rum, whiskey, brandy, and mezcal or mezcal. That one I was not aware of, okay? But there's seven spirits of alcohol, apparently, by the world's definition. This is not a Bible-believing Christian, but they refer to alcohol as spirits, okay? Look, when you are drinking alcohol, it is actually a medium where you can communicate with devils. It is a dangerous thing that no saved person should mess with. You say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I see the link. Ephesians 5, verse 18. I will show you the link. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, referring to drinking alcohol, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see the contraction there, the comparison between drinking alcohol and being filled with the Spirit? You see, these are the opposites from one another. So look, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? Don't drink any alcohol. Amen. Now, as a saved person, you are indwelled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will reside in you forever. But you can be filled with the Spirit, which gives you boldness to do good things, boldness to preach the gospel, boldness to do what's right, okay? And look, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, one condition is no alcohol whatsoever. But think about what it's trying to tell you, though. What about the opposite? If you want to be filled with unclean spirits, guess what you can do as an unsaved person? Drink alcohol. Being filled with the Spirit means no alcohol. Guess what? If you want to be filled with unclean spirits, one way is drink alcohol. See, I don't know, Brother Stuckey. Well, think about this. What does the Holy Spirit do for you in your life? Being filled with the Spirit gives you boldness to do what is right. You do things you would never do. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm a shy person. I would never go door-to-door soul winning. But being filled with the Spirit does what? It gives you boldness to do things you would not normally do. You say, man, Brother Stuckey, you know, man, I'm shy, I'm nervous, I could never preach a sermon. And yet many people have preached behind this pulpit that are naturally shy people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave you boldness to do something you would never do in your natural flesh. In fact, I am not the most outgoing person. But when you are saved and filled with the Spirit, it will give you boldness to do things you would not normally do. It gives you boldness to do what is right. What does alcohol do? It gives you boldness to do what is wrong. Isn't it true that people drink alcohol when they're drunk? They do things they would never do when they're sober. Isn't that right? I mean, just imagine talking to someone, you know, at lunchtime who's not drunk and everything and say, hey, you know, would you like to get in a fight at midnight tonight with glass bottles and pull out a knife and see what happens? They're going to be like, no. But drinking a little bit of alcohol, guess what? Doesn't sound too crazy to them, right? Find somebody who's not drunk and ask them, hey, would you like to just drink a bunch of alcohol where you can barely see and everything and just drive, you know, on NLEX tonight? No, I would never do that. But then you drink a couple cans of beer. Oh, it doesn't seem so weird drinking while I'm, you know, inebriated, while I'm drunk, right? Why? Because the alcohol is giving them boldness to do what's wrong. Things they would not normally do. You say, why? Because of the fact they are being influenced by spirits. Right. There's a reason why the world says alcohol is spirits. But you know, even more so than alcohol, are especially certain types of drugs are certainly a medium to communicate with the devil. Now look, I am not an expert on drugs, and maybe I should educate myself more because, you know, I've never done drugs. But some drugs are known as mind-altering drugs, where basically they change your mind. I guess certain drugs aren't like that, but other ones basically they just take over, they take control. There's drugs known as psychotic or psychotropic drugs. Psychotic drugs, meaning basically you turn insane, you turn like, you know, you're crazy, like you're psycho. Right? There's a famous horror movie called Psycho and everything. A psychotic drug where you take it and you go crazy. Okay? And look, certain drugs, they will make you go insane. They literally will. Now, it's a little bit harder to see here in the Philippines than in the U.S. because I'm telling you, in the U.S. all the time, and you can ask my wife, okay? You know, especially in California, there's oftentimes you'll just see people like this walking by you. I mean, that's true. You say, how does that happen? Because drugs are very easily accessible in the U.S. All you have to do is go to the doctors and say, oh, I'm having trouble sleeping. Hey, take this drug. Right? And look, I am not saying that all drugs that you get at pharmaceutical companies are wrong. That's not what I'm preaching. But there are certain drugs that you need to be very careful about. And it is very easy in the U.S. to get anything you want. Or all you have to do is go to a gym and say, hey, here's 50 bucks. Can you get me this? Because many times at gyms, they not even just steroids, but other drugs they supply. Or there's certain things they do, like they'll have shoes tied up on the overhead where you know, hey, this person's a drug dealer. And it's like a sign that they're a drug dealer. You can just kind of stop by. You knock on the door, hey, what do you have to offer? Right? It's like, you know, drugs are very easily accessible in the US. So you see people that are insane all the time. And you wonder sometimes, is this person just so messed up due to drugs, or are they possessed, or is it like both? But here's what I know. When you take drugs, it is a medium to communicate with devils. False religions always add this to their services. For example, Hinduism, many strands of Hinduism, they incorporate drugs and they will say this makes it easier to communicate with our God. Yes, it does. Rastafari, which I preached against a couple months ago, they regularly incorporate drugs into their service because it's a better way to communicate to the God that they worship. Yeah, it is. The Native American church in the U.S. and many, and I'm sure if you went back, you know, 1,000 years in the provinces, that many of the people that are worshiping the sun and the moon would have added drugs to their services to communicate with their God or their gods, right? That is a way to communicate with devils. Voodoo, shaman, these satanic sorts of religions or ways of life or whatever, they will incorporate drugs into their spiritual services. And they will literally say, this helps us get in touch with our God better. Yeah, it does. Drugs are a means to communicate with devils, and you will increase the likelihood as an unsaved person of getting possessed by devils. Now, look in your Bible at Ephesians 5, verse 19. So one thing that could increase your likelihood of getting possessed is specific sin, okay? Sin in general, because you're unclean, but specific sin will even increase your likelihood. Another thing that will increase your likelihood is satanic music. Satanic music. Notice verse 19. Actually, let me read verse 18 again. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Guess what? Don't drink alcohol, but also speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what you'll find with Christians that are really happy in their lives? It's Christians that open up this songbook during the week and take some time to sing a few songs. Right. Spend 10 minutes during the week to just sing songs and praises to God, and guess what? Puts you in a good mood. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, guess what? I mean, that's a great thing to do as a family. You got some free time, just sit around for 20 minutes, just sing some songs and pray and have just a great time. Look, that will put you in a good mood. And the Bible says this is a means and a way to get filled with the Spirit, to get boldness to do what is right. Turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. One thing you must realize is that every single religion in the world to some degree incorporates music into their services. I don't know of exceptions to that. Maybe there is. I understand some of them will say a cappella only, but they're still doing singing, right? I don't know of a religion where there's no music whatsoever. And in the Bible, basically singing hymns, what it does is it sets the theme for the sermons. Gets the service going, people are excited, they're filled with the Spirit, they're encouraged, and then the preaching. It fits, it's perfect. It's what the Bible has too. But realize false religions, they incorporate music into their spiritual services as well. Every false religion. Exodus 32 verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, that they have made them a golden molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So this is a famous chapter where they're worshipping a golden calf, okay? And they've rebelled. Moses and Joshua are gone. And Aaron, who wanted to be the leader did a pretty bad job of leading things, right? They're worshiping a golden calf, okay? Go to verse number 17. Verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. See, notice when Joshua's gone a long ways away, he says, man, it sounds like they went to war with somebody. I hear a battle going on. There's a war going on because there's a certain sort of noise that's going to fit with a war. Shouting and loud and yelling and stuff like that. It sounds like there's a war going on. Verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. He's saying it's not that they're killing somebody and winning and they're cheering and everything like that. It's not that they're cheering because they're getting a victory. Then he says, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. Now, don't you think it's true that if someone was going to stab you with a sword or cut off your head, you would cry out naturally out of fear? Everyone would do that, right? If somebody's beating you up, you're scared for your life, you're going to cry out normally. If you're winning, you're going to cry out. But Joshua is saying it's not that somebody's winning or losing a battle, but notice what he says, but the noise of them that sing, do I hear? Do you see that? He's like, it sounds like there's a war going on. Oh, actually, they're just singing songs. Now, what kind of song do you think they were singing? Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. I don't think that's the noise of war. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That doesn't sound like the noise of war to me. Now look, you know what music I think, because they say that, you know, hey, rock music was invented in the 20th century. No, I think it was invented a long time before that. It's like this is most fitting, in my opinion, with rock music. I remember reading that because, you know, when I got saved, obviously I listened to lots of rock music. And I remember reading this, it's like, oh man, he's preaching against rock music in Exodus 32. It's like you read that, the noise of war, okay? Now I will say there are different types of rock music that would be more fitting with the noise of war, like heavy metal. Like that's where you don't even understand what's being said would be really fitting with the noise of war. But just rock music in general is a little bit more fitting than be still my soul, right? I think it's pretty obvious because the Bible says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, okay? This music is very, and I want you to understand something. I'm not just specifically preaching on rock music because any ungodly music, all music is spiritual, all music. You say, Brother Stuckey, it's just instrumental. There's no words to it. All music is spiritual. Let me tell you something. You could close your eyes and listen to a classical song you've never heard before with no words, and you could tell me what that song's about. You could listen to a song like A Night on Bald Mountain, which was known as like a satanic song from a while ago. Close your eyes and you see darkness. Why? The sound of the music. Music has a meaning without any words. Music is always spiritual. Okay? There can be a good spirit or a bad spirit associated with. Music is a very dangerous thing if you have the wrong type of music. Verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now go to Daniel 3. I'll show you one other place. Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. In fact, in my opinion, the biggest reason why teenagers might get possessed in today's world is due to the music they listen to. I would say that's the number one reason, bar none. The music they listen to, and it has a certain sort of lifestyle associated with it. Depending on the type, I mean, you can look at the way people are dressed in this world, it's going to tell you something about them probably based on the music that they listen to. There's certain sorts of looks depend. I mean, if you listen to country and Western music in the U.S., you're not going to be having like, you know, gothic type of look with makeup. You're going to be wearing, you know, cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and stuff like that. Look, there's different sorts of lifestyles associated with music, okay? Music is always spiritual. And look, I as Christians, we should be singing the hymns in our free time. Music should be a part of our lives, but it should be the right type of music. I do not believe that when you get saved, just forget about music 100%. Well, that's foolish because if you spend a lot of time on music before you're saved, you need to replace it with something. Replace it with good music. In Baptist churches, I've heard it taught as replacement doctrine or replacement theology. So it's like a different replacement theology than maybe you've heard. But basically, when you get saved, you replace areas of your life with something that's godly but similar. So instead of the ungodly music, hey, still listen to a lot of music and still sing a lot of music, but good music, okay? And so notice what it says in Daniel 3, verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and tongues, people, nations, and languages. Verse 5, Daniel 3, verse 5. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. So basically, there was a decree that once this music plays, worship a false god. Worship an idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Now look, I've said this before, and you would have had to be there to understand, but when I was in Guyana, and they were having like a Hare Krishna funeral, which was nearby where I was staying, I mean, it was scary. Right? I mean, I get done with soul winning and walk by and everything. They had a fire going in the music. It sounded like satanic music. Right? I mean, you could just tell by listening to the music, man, this has an unclean spirit associated. I mean, you could just tell it was just, and there was something like hypnotic about it, but it was evil. Right? I mean, it's scary. But what you must understand is music is spiritual. There is meaning behind it, okay? Look, there's even been known, I don't want to go too much into this, but even in classical music, there is music known as basically satanic music, even with no words. Okay, verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. I want to give you a couple examples in the secular world about how many of these famous musicians are clearly possessed in Satan worshipers, okay? Now, when I kind of got a late start getting into music. I kind of got interested when I was a teenager. I remember my parents bought the movie Armageddon for Christmas, and I really liked Aerosmith, which was like all the music of the CD. And so I started to listen to Aerosmith and everything, but I was not really that familiar with music, so I didn't really know what sort of music I liked. Now, these were the days of Napster. Who knows Napster? Who's as old as me? Napster, where basically you don't have YouTube. No YouTube. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And it's like, there is no YouTube. So basically you go to Napster and you basically are downloading the music and everything. So I'm trying to find out what sort of music do I like. So I'm listening to a lot of music. Some I like, some I didn't. And I really kind of narrowed down to what I enjoyed listening to was the hard rock genre. Now, the hard rock is incorporated with like the grunge of Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and that stuff. Then there's the heavy metal. I was not really a fan of heavy metal, which is usually the pretty dark stuff. And then there's like kind of punk music and various types. Mine was kind of like the classic hard rock, like the Led Zeppelin, the Aerosmith, the AC/DC, Alice Cooper, that kind of music. Now, that music was kind of before my time. I didn't really like the music kind of when I was that age. I liked the music from like 20 years, 30 years in the past. So I went on to Napster, I started to download all this music, and I came across VH1, which is a music television station in the US. They have a list of the 100 greatest hard rock artists of all time. So basically I went to number one and just listened to their most famous songs, and I determined what I liked. So I want to give you a couple examples just from the top of this list of these artists, and just that they're clearly just Satan worshipers. Number one on that list was Led Zeppelin, okay? Led Zeppelin is considered by most people to be the greatest hard rock artists of all time. Their lead guitarist, Jimmy Page, which some people believe is the greatest guitarist of all time, when he performed on stage at concerts, he wore pants with the number 666 at every concert. I wonder what Led Zeppelin was promoting. Not only that, but Jimmy Page, he also bought the house of Aleister Crowley, which is the most famous Satan worshiper of the 20th century. He started a false satanic religion where they're actually trying to perform spells and doing sorcery and stuff like that. He bought the house of a famous Satan worshiper, and when the lead drummer, John Bonham, drank himself to death, many people thought that he had cast a spell to have him killed, because this guy was actually a wizard. He was actually practicing black magic. He was actually a bona fide Satan worshiper. Jimmy Page. That was number one on the list. Number two on the list was Black Sabbath. I mean, do I even need to mention any of the songs? Look at the name. Black Sabbath. What were they promoting? What was Ozzy Osbourne and his band promoting, which was Black Sabbath? I mean, the guy bit the head off a bat at a concert. I mean, weird stuff. Right? Number three on the list was Jimi Hendrix. Look, I still have this stuff permanently in my head because I used to listen to this music. Jimi Hendrix sung songs like Purple Haze, which is a song about marijuana. And Voodoo Child was probably maybe his biggest song. I wonder what Voodoo Child is about. He ended up drinking himself to death when he's like 30 years old or something like that. Number four on the list was AC/DC. AC/DC, their lead singer, Bon Scott, drank himself to death, just like a lot of these rock artists. The next album, the first song was Hell's Bells. And the song was in honor of their lead singer that was now in hell, because they're gonna join him one day. And you know what, they're right. They are gonna join him one day. And we're just gonna celebrate in hell and just drink and have a big party and fornicate and no rules. Well, you got a rude awakening, my friend. And the first song was Hell's Bells. In fact, perhaps their biggest song was Highway to Hell. Man, I wonder what Highway to Hell was promoting. Now you say, Brother Stucky, Led Zeppelin sung Stairway to Heaven, right? They're doing spiritual music. Yeah, they're doing spiritual music, okay? That song is not about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the top four on the list. Number 10 on the list, Kiss. If you know the band Kiss, they're the ones with the black and white face paint. Gene Simmons had the long tongue and everything. KISS is an acronym that stands for Knights in Satan's Service. That's what it stands for. Oh, you say it's just a game. And look, by the way, AC/DC is an acronym for being bisexual as well. All these rock artists, oh man, they're so cool and everything like that. It's funny because when I listen to this music, they sound really tough. It's like, I'd like to see those guys get underneath a bench press. They're bench pressing the bar and everything. It's like, oh, I'm having trouble picking up the bar. Because you see these guys, and they're not like men. They're weak. This music, it's satanic. It's dangerous stuff. Now, that was the sort of music that I listened to. Let me give you a couple other examples outside of the music that I used to listen to. And by the way, even before I was saved, I stopped listening to some of this music because I read the biographies of some of these people. Like, I read Led Zeppelin's biography and I never listened again because they were such wicked, evil people that I was like, man, what in the world, right? Just disgusting, filthy stuff. Bob Dylan, you can see an interview online where he's just having an interview, and Bob Dylan's considered by many people to be the greatest songwriter of the 20th century in terms of the rock or folk rock sort of genre. And he's considered to have lighthearted music like the Beatles. Like, it's just fun music, right? No big deal. Well, Bob Dylan, he does an interview and they ask him, where did you get your inspiration? And he's like, I made a deal. And you can tell from the interview, it's very obvious what he's saying is that he made a deal with the devil. The guy says, well, who'd you make a deal with? And he's like, I think you know who I made a deal with. Oh, he's just joking. Yeah, all these rock artists are just joking when they say they sold their soul to the devil. Yeah, you want to be really successful in this industry, you got to sell your soul to the devil. You got to be wicked people. Otherwise, it's not just about talent. And you realize this, that Satan was a musical being. Isn't that true? Satan was a musical being. So who do you think is giving these people the power to do these things? Unclean spirits. Devils are giving them the power to do these things. Beyonce Knowles, who was married to Jay-Z, you know, who was part of Destiny's Child a while ago. You know, she would regularly say when she was on Oprah and these other things that they say, well, what gives you that ability when you're up there to sing and everything? Because they say, it seems like you become a different woman up on stage. They say, you seem like you're just kind of one type of woman, then something just kind of changes in you. And she said, I get possessed by a woman named Sasha Fierce. She said that for 15 years. She hasn't changed that. She literally says she gets possessed, and that's what gives her the inspiration. Everyone's like, oh, wow, that's cool. It's like, what? It's all just a joke. They're all just joking, right? Look, you can go down all the music, and that's reality. There is a spirit associated with music, and if you have the wrong spirit, it's a dangerous one. And look, there are certain sorts of music that will really lead people to committing suicide. They listen to that music, and it will just lead them to just do crazy things. Why? They're being influenced by dark forces. It's not just a game. It's not just a joke. It's reality. Turn in your Bible to Exodus 7. Exodus 7. Exodus 7. One of the big bands who was actually number 6 on that list of VH1's list when I was a kid was Nirvana. When I was, you know, a young kid, and I wasn't really into music at that time, but Nirvana was very famous. The lead singer, Kurt Cobain, who killed himself, was a bisexual, by the way. But Kurt Cobain, like in his songs, I don't remember the name of the song, but like the lyrics were like, he said, I want to eat your cancer when it turns bad. That was part of one of his songs. And you know, this sort of music, you don't always hear the lyrics because you just hear the music and everything. And look, I'll freely admit, the music I just mentioned, look, my flesh enjoys listening to that sort of music, okay? Aerosmith and Alice Cooper and AC/DC, to me, it sounds good to my flesh. Not to my spiritual side, but to my flesh, it sounds good. The encouraging thing is this, that you know, I stopped listening to this music over a decade ago, and quite honestly, I have no desire where I'm like, oh man, let me just check out this song by Aerosmith. right? You know, your attachment to this stuff can slowly die down over time. Now, unfortunately, those lyrics are kind of permanently seared into your head where you still know this stuff. But your attachment, where you actually have a desire to listen to it, it dies down because if you're walking in the Spirit regularly, you're killing off the flesh. And I can honestly say I have no desire to just start listening to Aerosmith or that sort of music. But I want you to realize this music, it's not just fun and entertaining. It sounds good. No, there is a spirit associated with that music. And you saw that in Exodus 32. You saw that in Daniel 3. And all of these famous musicians, what they are promoting is filth, is wickedness. So point one was specific sin. Point two was satanic music. And point three, which is another medium to communicate with devils, is sorcery. Sorcery. Notice what it says in Exodus 7, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. What verse 11 is saying is that the miracle that God performed, these sorcerers, which are devil worshipers, they had the ability to do the same thing. You say, oh, it's just fun and games. No, it's not. This stuff's real. It's not just fake. They have the ability to actually do magic. You say, who gets that ability? People that are more possessed by devils. People that are more tapping into that dark side. It's not something for us to mess with. And look, as Christians, we can never be indwelled with devils or be devil possessed. We shouldn't even mess with this stuff, though. It's scary stuff. It's weird. It's the exact opposite of God. You say, oh man, Harry Potter's a fun, entertaining movie. Yeah, about devil worship, sorcery. Man, right. That's what it's about. You say, oh, it's good magic and bad magic. They're both bad. Man, right. It's not good magic and bad magic. Oh, Lord of the Rings. No, it's bad magic. It's bad. It's sorcery. It's not fun. It's not games. And sorcery has the death penalty in the Bible. I mean, am I not right that sorcery has the death penalty associated in the Bible? Look, we as Christians ought to take a strong stand against these things. Magic is not a game to be messed with, okay? Look at verse 19. Verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon the rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his serpents. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So here, the miracle performed is all the waters turned to blood. Now look, if I lived in Egypt, what I would like the sorcerers to do is to turn the bloody water back to regular water. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, that would be kind of helpful. It's like, man, I need something to drink and I just see blood everywhere. Well, notice what they do in verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They did the exact same thing. They basically turned the rest of the water into blood also. It's like, now look, I'm glad you have power to tap into talking to the devil, but you're also very bobo. It's like literally you have no water to drink. And it's like, well, hey, we can do the same thing as you. Watch this. Hey, good job. Now you got bloody water. Now you're going to die if you drink that. Okay? It's like, what are you doing? But they do have the power. Now, they are not able to perform all the miracles of God. But they're able to perform some of them. And look, some of these Satan-worshipping things, they have books, I've never read these books. And look, in terms of this sort of stuff, I do not encourage Christians to study into stuff that's too dark. You got to be simple concerning evil. I do not suggest you read these demonic books and everything that are sorcery and stuff like that. Look, it's not a healthy thing to do, and it's not a smart thing to do. Hey, I'm just going to go on Google and look at these like things where ghosts appeared and stuff like that. Look, that's not for Christians to be messed with. It's scary stuff. It's not smart stuff. It's not something God would have you to do. But in these books of Satan worshiping, they have magic spells in them. They teach kids at a young age. You know the stupid stuff that were in video games and stuff? Hey, you get a feather and you get like a bowl of rice and you say this enchantment three times and it will turn into a bird or something like that. That's the sort of stuff in their books. And look, it's not completely fake. It's not. Sorcery is real to some degree that God will allow them to do certain stuff. They can do these sorts of things today. Okay? When it comes to famous magicians, what famous magicians do is they have kind of two types of tricks. Ones that are just kind of a normal where they trick you and you don't notice, but also ones where they're basically calling into false prophets, you know, demons and devils and stuff like that. And look, those famous magicians that are out there that are known and rich and famous, they're just sorcerers.
Right.
They're just possessed by devils. And you know what? Yeah, they do some things that are not possible to explain. Why? They're possessed by devils. Because they're getting power from the devil and devils to do certain things. They're sorcerers. And look, in the Bible, sorcery has the death penalty. Let me show that to you. Go to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Look, any sort of stuff like this, like in the U.S. you have Ouija boards and stuff like that where basically everybody touches the center and you just allow the spirit to kind of take you and to do something or whatever. Look, this stuff's demonic. As Christians, you should have nothing to do with this stuff. And look, even when you look at a church like the Pentecostal church, because like when people are speaking in tongues, and half the time they're just making nonsense and just faking it or whatever, but other times they're possessed by devils. When they're speaking nonsense, it's not always just fake. And you say, Brother Stuck, and look, I've seen it in person before where there's a Pentecostal preacher who healed somebody. Okay, this was in Guyana, I've mentioned it before, but there was nobody around this person. There wasn't like a big crowd where he's trying to impress anybody. I saw it, and there's the kid who got healed, the teacher, and there's this Pentecostal preacher. And this guy said, you know, he's having trouble sleeping at night, he's having nightmares and everything, and they wanted him to be healed. And this Pentecostal preacher puts his hands on him, and all of a sudden he's just like this, and he hits the deck. And then he gets up, and he's like, oh. You say, Brother Stucky, what do you think happened? I think he cast a devil into that kid. He did the exact opposite of what he was saying. He cast a devil. I mean, doesn't it make sense? All of a sudden, you just hit the deck, and all of a sudden, you're like having a seizure and everything. Maybe a devil just got cast into that kid. And look, I believe the Pentecostal preachers, they literally act as a medium to devils, and then they cast those devils into all the people they supposedly heal. That is what's taking place. Now, I understand there's a lot of that Pentecostal, you know, garbage where they're faking it and stuff like that. It's not always fake. Sometimes it's real and it's demonic and it's something Christians should have nothing to do with. Leviticus 20 verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Cut him off is a reference to where they'll be killed. You can look throughout the entire Bible. We don't have time to do that. But basically what he's saying is those that are wizards and witches, they get the death penalty. That's what the Bible says. Verse 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Turn to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. We'll look at a few more places. Deuteronomy 18. Look, we need to be very careful with our kids at a young age not to allow them to get influenced by these demonic things. This stuff is not something to play around with. It's not a game. And look, you may be a saved person and you will never get possessed by devils, but you shouldn't even become close to this stuff. I mean, this is something that has the death penalty associated. Not every sin in the Bible has the death penalty.
Right.
And let me just say this, because, you know, people say this that with you know, because sorcery gets the death penalty. Let me tell you a form of sorcery. In my opinion, drug dealing. Why? Because many of those drugs they're pushing out are mind-altering. They're acting like a sorcerer. I've always said this, like I've heard this preached from like 15 years ago at independent Baptist churches. Look, I'm not against the president giving the death penalty to drug dealers. You say, why? It's a form of sorcery. Now, I understand certain drugs are not, you know, sorcery type drugs, and I don't know what the line is because I don't know much about drugs, but there are certain drugs that will change your mind. They will make you crazy. They will make you see visions and things like that. That's sorcery. And yes, you know what? I'm not against the death penalty for people that are practicing sorcery.
Right.
Look, there are some drugs that aren't super hardcore where they'll just change your mind, but there are certain drugs that will make you crazy. It's sorcery. It's wicked. Okay? The Bible has the death penalty associated in God's perfect law. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. This is something the heathen do, the Bible says. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Turn to one last place, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Well, what application can we get as saved people? Look, we should have nothing to do with anything that is associated with this. And let me tell you something, you might have to make a hard line on the movies you let yourself watch. You might have to make a hard line on the TV shows you allow yourself to watch. You might have to cut a hard line on the video games you play, where they have necromancers in those video games. Christians should have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter if not all the characters are like that. You know, you're associating yourself with something that has the death penalty. It's like these video games are not a joke. We should be staying away from them. You say, why do you say that? What does it say in Ephesians 5 verse 11? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what we're doing in this sermon. And every single year, there will be a sermon around this time of year based around this sort of theme, especially in today's world where it's everywhere. It's all in the entertainment. And look, I get it. I didn't grow up as an independent fundamental Baptist. I've seen the movies. I've watched the Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potters and all that stuff and the TV shows where they have this sort of stuff. And they make it out to be like it's a game. I mean, it's a comedy show, like no big deal. Or they make it a video game where it's fun and entertaining and stuff like that. Look, this is demonic stuff. When I was a kid, the two big video games that had this magic, and they made it just kind of entertaining, no big deal, were Legend of Zelda and Final Fantasy. It's got magic in it. It's sorcery. It's wrong. And yeah, you know what, as Christians, we do have to take a hard line on the entertainment we allow ourselves to partake in. And look, I understand this might step on some toes that you might have to clean up some stuff in your life, but this is the sort of preaching we need. Why? Christians should have nothing to do with it and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You should be happy you're at a church that is reproving them.
Amen.
Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You say, Brother Stucky, I'm not a sorcerer. You know, it's just, I find it fun and entertaining. Why do you find the devil's entertainment entertaining? Is that your spiritual side or is that your flesh that finds it entertaining? Look, I get it. I grew up watching all the movies, all the TV shows, all the music and everything. And look, I understand it's tough to make these sorts of changes. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something where you're continually growing and growing and growing. But look, as Christians, we need to find a new form of entertainment. And let me tell you something, in the Christian life, there is never a more exciting life you could possibly live. Yeah, you might have to cut out some things that you used to be involved in and stuff like that, but you know what? There's nothing more exciting than going soul winning. There's nothing more exciting than serving God. There's nothing more exciting than being part of a church that's actually standing up against the wickedness of this world, going soul winning, and doing something that very few churches in the Philippines are doing. That's exciting. And yeah, you know what? As Christians, we do have to cut a hard line. But what you're seeing is this, that Christians have this attitude, I'm going to stay this far from the world. Here's the problem. The world keeps going that direction. You used to be over here, this far from the world. The problem is, the world's all the way over here now. Guess where you are? You're right here. You're doing stuff that 50 years ago, nobody would ever do. Look, in the 1950s, Elvis, when he became popular, they did not show him on video from his waist down because they said him dancing was inappropriate to show the lower half of his body. I mean, on black and white TV, they just show the upper part of his body above his waist from like here up because they said it was inappropriate that a man would be dancing and shaking his hips like that. Boy, the world's changed in 60 years quite a bit, hasn't it? That was considered inappropriate. Now what's considered inappropriate? Very, very little. And unfortunately, you know what, Christians were right back then. That is inappropriate. But you know what happened is Christians just kind of followed the world and got worse and worse and worse. Look, you need to form what you believe based on what does the Bible say. What is right, what is wrong, and as Christians we should take a hard line against sin and worldliness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to hear this sermon and see what you have to say about this topic, God. And obviously, as saved people, we could never be possessed with devils, But at the same time, we do not want to even influence ourselves in any way by these demonic forces. Help us to realize this stuff is not just fake and a game and just fun and entertaining. This is demonic things that we as Christians should have nothing to do with. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.